Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really happy that we got more snow. No? Not on the same page? Oh, man, it's such an honor and blessing to be here. Good morning, guys. Welcome to True North. If you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been going through this series called The Armor of God, and we're actually wrapping up the series today. And, I was thinking back when I first heard this, I remember my mom talking to me about this scripture, and it was just so confusing to me, and I had this vision of my mind of what putting on armor meant, and I got to thinking, like, I wonder what it would look like if some of the stories were retold, or Jesus would come back and hang out with us some more and put it in today's terms, and I was thinking, like, if you had faith, as much of a mustard seed, and you tell your children to do something, they'll actually do it, man, that would get tons of people to follow Christ right there, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, you can file your taxes with ease and have no problem, something like that, but with this armor of God, I remember just thinking, how much of a mystery of it that it was to me as a child, and if you've heard me speak before, or you know me just a little bit, you know that I'm a huge hockey nerd and love hockey, love the Penguins. And so I thought, well, why not bring that into the message to help it apply a little bit? And so I was just thinking, like, okay, well, the armor of God is kind of like a goaltender, right? And so obviously the best, right? The best. And so, so I'm like, all right, so I'm going through the messages that Justin's spoken so far, and so I'm like, all right, we'll put on the leg pads of truth, right, and the ice skates of the gospel of peace, like, yeah, praise God, I'm getting it now, and the breastplate is the breast pads or the shoulder pads of righteousness, like, yeah, and the blocker of faith to catch those fiery pucks from the enemy, and the helmet, of salvation, and then the stick, the warrior stick, kudos, Rob, which is the word of God. So I'm like, all right, I get that. It makes sense to me, And so what we're going to do today is we're going to wrap up this armor of God and talk about those last two pieces, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And so if you like to take notes, you got your word with you. We need to get into it, right? The word of God is alive and well. It's breathing, and it's a powerful tool for us. And so we're going to talk about that today. So let's get into the Word of God together. And what I'm going to do is we're just going to do a bit of a recap, because I'm sure you all have remembered every single word over, that Justin has preached over the last few weeks, but I'll help you remember where we're at. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 10, the armor of God. So it starts off in verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Let's stop there for a second. So what's really interesting is this word schemes in the Greek means cleverness and cunning, and that really kind of makes sense if you think about it, right? Like, I don't know if you can resonate with this, but so many times, like, when I mess up, like, if I, get angry about something or road rage or, just mess up no matter what it is, and then later I look back, and I think, man, I was doing so good, but I see what you did there, Satan. I feel like he studies me, right? He knows where, the weak spots are. I'm sure that resonates with you guys, right? Something happens, you mess up, you're really disappointed, and if you look back at it, you're like, I see what you did there. Like, that was really sneaky, right? You found a weak spot in my armor. And so it makes sense that the Greek for schemes means this cunning, this cleverness. He studies us. He really does. We are fighting an enemy. This whole series, we're talking about armoring up for a battle, right? And that's exactly what it is. It's a battle that we're in. And like any battle, your opponent's going to study where you're at, right? And they're going to study your ways. They're going to figure out, like, where your weak spots are. They're going to change their approach, right? If you are faced with something and you see victory in it, you're all excited, and you never have a problem with that ever again in your whole life, right? No, because the devil will change his game, right? He's going to change his approach. It's like, all right, that didn't work. I'm going to try something else, right? I'm going to get someone they love or trust, and I'm going to have them say something, or I'm going to put something on the TV, or I'm going to have this you know, this person like totally destroy you and, you know, and make you upset or whatever it may be, right? He knows where those weak spots are. That's why we all don't struggle with the same things, right? That's kind of a no-brainer, but that is why that we all struggle with different things, because our enemy is cunning. He's clever. He uses these schemes and he fits them just for you. And so that's why we need to be alert. So picking up on verse 12 where we left off, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I'm going to stop there as well. You know, I've learned this, and I'm beginning to learn this more and more in my faith walk, but when there's conflict, I'll use that. So when there's conflict, let's say in your relationships or at work, it's so easy to just think it's that person, right? It's my wife. It's, you know, your husband. It's your children, you know, and you know, it's my boss or whatever. And it's so easy for us to think that the problem is people, no matter what it is. You know, if it's somebody who's causing you to be anxious, you know, it's someone who's frustrating the heck out of you, you know, kids that won't listen. I know that's rare, but you know, it's just the people seem to be the problem. And we, even though we know that they're not, we fall into that rut, right? And what really helps is if we remember that our struggles here are not flesh and blood, you know? And so even with Carrie and I, we, you know, I've reminded ourselves together, like, look, Satan's obviously in this whole struggle, right? It's him that wants to upset us. It's him that wants us to be arguing, right, and disagreeing. But let's, you know, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's him, you know, so we just need to stop listening to him and we're going to see a victory here, right? And so it's such a great reminder here to say your struggle is not against people, you know, and it's so easy for us to forget that. Like, no, it is. My boss is a jerk. You know, I'm like, no, it's really not. It's really not. There's an opportunity for you to change your heart posture. So verse 13, where we left off. Therefore, because we don't fight against the, you know, the flesh but the spirit, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after have done everything to stand. And I want to focus on those words, put on. I think that's really interesting. The original Greek here means to permanently put on a lifetime attire. You know, notice that the words here are not go find or pray for or ask for the armor of God. It doesn't say that, right? It says put it on, which means you already have it. Tristan Jari already has his pads, right? You know, we already have all of this armor that Justin's been speaking about available and at our ready. It's there, right? If you've placed your hope and faith in Jesus Christ, you have this armor. You have this sword available to you. Doesn't say go find it, ask that God will give it to you. It says put it on. Just put it on. It's right there. You own it. You possess it. So I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, the more I thought about that, you know, I think that that's probably where a lot of our struggle is, right? With truth, the gospel of peace, our own righteousness, right? Faith. You know, the more we forget that we have this defense, the more that we're going to struggle. And I'm reminded of back in Texas when we first moved to this place that we bought. I noticed in the backyard there were, now I'm a South Dakota boy, just as a reminder in this context here, and this is in Texas, tons of vines that were growing in the back. You know, I just like them. They were going over the neighbor's yard as well, and I'm like, I'm just going to get rid of these vines. It's ridiculous. They look terrible. So I go out there, and I'm chopping them all out, and I throw them out in the back and clean it all up, and it looks great. And I think later that day or maybe the day after, I was chatting with our neighbor, and he's like, oh, I see that you removed all that poison ivy. Like, thanks a lot. And I'm like, I'm fine. Like, what the heck? I felt like I was a superstar. Like, I've got this defense, and I didn't even know it. That's pretty cool. Bring on the poison ivy. Like, I don't even need gloves. You know, and it was just kind of like this epiphany, you know, and I'm reminded of that here. You know, we have these defenses at our ready, and so many times we're just not using it. So many times we're not holding on to the truth, right? We're not seeking and putting on the gospel of peace, right? We're not seeking and leaning into God and abiding in him to be in a right standing with him, right? That righteousness. Faith, come on. Faith is the tough one. But it's no mistake that it's our shield, right? And so, I mean, that's what blocks the enemy's attack is our faith. You know, so many times, again, it's available and we just don't use it. we have this defense and we just don't use it. And I want us to remember that as we continue to talk about and finish up this armor of God. And so picking up where we left off, verse 14, it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one." And then verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." So we're going to focus on these last two pieces. First of all, the helmet of salvation and then the sword of the Spirit. So just brilliant that the helmet of salvation is used as a helmet here. So let's just think through this. How can our salvation be a defense against the enemy? You know, I mean, at least for me, at first stroke, it really didn't make sense to me. Like, well, Satan can't take our salvation. In case you didn't know, Satan can't take our salvation away. So how is our salvation a defense against the enemy's attacks? And what it is, you know, in looking at the original language here, this, it's all about our identity in Christ. Satan wants to destroy our assurance of our salvation. Recently, I attended a training at work about imposter syndrome. I don't know if you've heard of imposter syndrome, but it's something in the business world that's getting more and more attention. And what it is basically in your role, no matter what you do for your job, sometimes some people struggle with just the feeling of just being not worthy. Like, I don't really, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here. You know, I'm out of my element. I'm faking it till I make it, you know, and we have moments of that imposter syndrome. And I mean, that resonates with me because, you know, I was in finance for 16 years and then was laid off, and I've been at Cigna in healthcare for coming on 2.5 years or so. And so everything's new, you know, and so that really resonated with me. And I think it kind of fits here too. You know, Satan wants to get us to forget about our identity and who he is, right? And we have such a powerful inheritance. We have such a tremendous hope. The Spirit of the living God is in us. And we forget that. I mean, think about, since we're talking about a battle or you know, like a hockey game or any kind of game, if you were going to play a game and you knew, like, I don't know, you know, like Back to the Future dude, whatever his name is, came and said, "By the way, you're going to win this game." You know, if you knew somehow that you were going to win the game that you're about to play, wouldn't you play it with like amazing confidence? Like, it, you know, I'm just going to give it all I got. I'm not going to leave anything out there on the floor or on the ice or on the field. And, you know, I'm just going to give it my all because we're going to win. I know we're going to win. Confidence, unrelenting confidence. That's the kind of confidence that is available to us. That's that helmet of salvation that is available to us. But do we put it on, right? Because that is our reality. We know that Satan loses. In what other game, in what other battle do you know that that's going to be the end result? We got that, you know? And so, I mean, there's so many scriptures that talk about this, but just a few to help us remember. Romans 8:15, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." We've been adopted. If you've placed your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, you are adopted in, right? Amaris is adopted into our family. And though we may want to sometimes send her back with postage prepaid, just kidding, we love you like crazy. You're a special gift. We love you. No, but I warned her. I said, "I'm going to put something in there. I love you, honey. You're the greatest thing, seriously." You know, we've been adopted into this sonship, and it's an adoption that will never be revoked. 1 Peter 3:1-4, you've heard this one. "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen? Come on. "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." That word "never" in the Greek means never. You're welcome. "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. You've been adopted. You've been given an inheritance. Satan loses. You win. Play your game. Fight your battle with confidence. Right? That's what he's saying here, and it's so amazing. You know, and this is really, I look at this helmet of salvation as kind of like an identity theft protection, if you will, right? I mean, that's what it is. You know, Satan cannot steal our identity, but the battle is in the mind, isn't it, right? If he can make us feel like that imposter syndrome or like, there's no way I can be saved. I just screwed up. I had a tough week. I've lost my armor. It's gone. I got to go find it and pray for it again. No, that's not it. Your salvation is secure. You've been adopted into sonship, which is awesome. And then I've got to say, Romans 10:9-10 is really core to this as well. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So it's a done deal, y'all. It's a done deal, but we forget. And that's what Satan wants to do, whether it's through frustration, through that boss that you can't stand, through situations that you go through in your life, you're forgetting about your identity in Christ. And so I kind of like movies, I think, but I think of this movie, Braveheart. How many of you guys seen the movie Braveheart? It's been a while. I'm old. Okay. So the movie Braveheart is a story about William Wallace, and it's way back in the day where Scotland is fighting for their freedom, right? And so it's the typical scene that other shows have had where you've got this battlefield, right? And on one side, you've got this overpowering, lots of money behind this army. They're on horses. They've got metal shields. They've got long javelins. They're ready to go. And on this other side with William Wallace, you've got this ragtag team of sheep herders and, you know, village people who've got sharpened sticks, you know, and wooden shields. And there's a scene, there's an epic scene where the battle is about to start. And you can tell the immense nervousness in this army. They're nervous. They're weak. They're looking around like, well, if you're next, I'm in trouble, you know? And so they're really freaking out. And William Wallace, being the leader he is, he can sense that. And so what does he do like any good leader? He starts riding back and forth, and he starts rallying the crew. He starts reminding them of who they are. He starts reminding them of what they've done to get here. Y'all, one of Satan's biggest attack is to get you to forget about how Jesus has showed up in your life before. Right? Think about all the answered prayers, right? Think about the people that love you that God has put around in your life, right? Think about those people that if they weren't a part of your life, you wouldn't be here today, right? Satan wants you to forget the past as far as where God has shown up, right? Because we're going to remind him of his future, right? And so, you know, William Wallace is running back and forth, and he's reminding them, he's getting them all amped up, and you know, they get excited, and they go after it. Same thing with sports, right? How many times have we seen any kind of sporting event where after, one of the periods or the first half or something, a team is just getting beat? I mean, they're not into it. Whatever the reason, they're behind, and it just looks terrible. They go back to the locker room, you know, and they come out and they play like a totally different team. They're on top of it. They start to score. They get this great momentum. They come back and they win, you know. Happens all the time. What changed? What happened in the locker room, right? A good leader, a good coach will do the same thing, right? If any of you guys have been in coaching, you've probably done the same thing too, right? Guys, we're here for a reason. We've earned this spot, right? You know, we know what to do. You guys just need to remember to do it, right? You guys need to man up, you know, or cowboy up or woman up or whatever, you know, the up is, you know, but just be who you already are. You've got the skills. You've got the tools that we've given you. You've got the playbook. You know what to do. You've proven that you've done it before. Just get out there and do it. Stick to the rules. Stick to the game plan. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. So this helmet of salvation really makes a lot of sense if you think about, you know, Satan wants to destroy our assurance of who we are in Christ, right? And so my encouragement would be to dig into the Word of God, find those scriptures that you can hang your hat on and say, you know, I know who I am in Christ. A couple of my darkest times, my biggest challenges in my life where I felt like I was at the end of me and my back was against the wall. You know, I would just speak out loud, pace in my bedroom and say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You cannot take that away from me. Take whatever else. My faith and trust is not going to waver in my God. And whoo, does that feel good? It feels good to do that. And that's what we need to do. That's what freaks out the enemy. So the helmet of salvation, such a powerful, powerful piece of armor that we have. Amen? Don't forget who you are in Christ. He wants to attack your identity. Put on that identity theft protection. And then the next piece is the sword of the Spirit. And I'm telling you what, it's really interesting with the armor of God. Up until this point, everything that we've been talking about is defense, right? The belt of truth, the feet shod or prepared with the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, defense, all defense. But he finishes with our one piece of offense, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So let's get into this. I want to give you really the best example of what we have as this sword of the Spirit, and who better than from Jesus demonstrating it for us. So we're going to go to Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. So if you want to follow along. Now this is when Jesus was out in the wilderness and the devil is tempting him. So Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Remember that, he was hungry. So he had a physical need. Satan knew that. He's cunning. He's clever. Where is he going to start attacking? The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's Deuteronomy 8:3 that he's quoting here, the Old Testament. So swing number one. You know, Satan is seeing that Jesus is hungry. He's in the flesh and blood, so he's going to start with the lowest hanging fruit, right? Some of our weakest times is when we're tired, right? When we're exhausted, and Satan loves to just to dig into that. You deserve a break today. So go grab X, Y, and Z because you deserve it. Or you're tired. You don't feel like fighting. You don't feel like picking up your sword, right? Satan knows that. So verse 5, we're going to continue here. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. And again, he starts the same way. If you are the Son of God, he says this twice now. What is he doing? He's attacking, trying to attack his identity. Pretty stupid because he's the Son of God, but he's attacking his identity. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And now he ups his game. Now, the devil is using scripture. He's trying to use scripture against Jesus. Satan says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Psalm 91, 11 to 12 is what that's from. Okay, Satan knows the word of God too. Satan, just like your enemy, he knows weapons. He knows what to use, right? And he is using the word of God or attempting to use the word of God to tempt Jesus Christ. Jesus answered him again, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Deuteronomy 6:16 is what he's using. So he's fighting fire with fire, isn't he? Second time now, Jesus is using his sword. He's demonstrating the word of God to fight off the enemy's attack. And then verse 8. It says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I'll give you if you will bow down and worship me. First of all, Satan can't give Jesus all of that. So no big surprise, he's a liar, right? He's going to throw lies at you to try to get you to believe anything. And Jesus says, again, same tactic, away from me, Satan, he says, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Deuteronomy 6:13 is where he's quoting from right there. And then it says, powerful right here, verse 11, then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Wow. So imagine if Jesus would have fought off Satan by, opening up the earth and throwing them in there, or having lightning come down and turning them into mist or something like that, something that only Jesus could do. As we're reading through this, well, that's pretty cool, but I'm not Jesus, so I guess I'm in trouble here. I guess I'm going to try my hardest to fight. No, Jesus wanted to demonstrate how to fight, right? Just like that worship song, this is how I fight my battles. It's the word of God. And Jesus demonstrated that by saying, fight your battles with the word of God. And you know what's interesting is, it's only one weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. He doesn't say, and also pull the pin on your grenade of self-determination, or your dagger of, I know I can do it. There's nothing else. It's just the word of God. And I joke about that, but come on. A lot of times we're trying to fight these battles without the word of God. I can just will through it, or I'm just going to try to ignore it, or I'm just going to try to get myself busy and doing something else, or I'm going to rationalize and think it's not as bad as other things. We try all kinds of things to fight a battle, to barely survive, to barely get by, when all we need, per Jesus, is the word of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what Jesus did. The devil left him. Verse 11. And I know it sounds simple, but that's why Jesus took this approach, right? This was all according to plan, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of darkness. So fight like Jesus fought. Right? Stop trying to do it on your own. Willpower, ignoring it, rationalizing, and stick to the word of God. That's why you hear it from us so much here at True North. We need to abide in Christ. We need to be in his word, right? We need to go into the word and find answers for what we're struggling with, right? Is it purity? Is it anxiety, right? Is it depression? Is it frustration? Is it pride? The list, whatever it is for you, there's an answer in the word of God that you can weaponize against the devil. Where is he gaining ground? Justin talked about that foothold that Satan will use, right? Where is that? Kick his daggum foot off of it, right? Right? Use the word of God and start seeing some victory in these battles. Your armor, your weapon is available to you. I went so many years in my walk with Christ where I did not use my weapon very much. It was absolutely ridiculous, and to be honest, I know I wasn't seen as a threat to Satan. And some of you may be thinking okay, this whole battle thing and this fight that we're in, that doesn't really resonate with me. I don't really feel like I'm in a battle. If that's you, I got to tell you, be very, very worried. If Satan doesn't see you as a threat, be very, very worried. I'm reminded of another epic movie, Saving Private Ryan. Have you guys seen Saving Private Ryan, some of you? Saving Private Ryan, so it's a World War II movie where this troop of American soldiers is set out to find this Private Ryan because three of his brothers died in battle on D-Day, or they're close. And the story is just kind of tells a story about all these different soldiers where there's one of them, this Private Opham is his name, and he's a translator. A very mild-mannered, weak kind of person. Tom Hanks, the sergeant for this group, he says, "Have you ever fired a weapon?" He's like, "Yeah, once in basic training." So, I mean, he was very un-soldier-like in so many ways. And there's an epic part of the story towards the very end where they're in this battle. They're about to be in this battle, and there's this bridge that they want to stop the enemy from taking. And so everybody knowing who Private Opham is and how weak, and they know they can't really trust him, but they say, your job is one thing. Give us ammunition. That's your job. And so during this battle is happening, there's this guy that's upstairs in this blown-out house, and he calls for ammunition. So Opham, scrambles, and he's putting these belts of ammo around his neck, and he's got his gun in his hand, and he's running into this house. He's going up the stairs, and he can hear that this soldier, this American soldier, is fighting a German soldier. He can feel them, or he can hear them fighting. And he's just paralyzed with fear. And so he just sits down on the stairs right outside that door while these two are fighting. And as the fight goes on, I mean, it's a fist fight and a knife, and sadly, the American soldier is slowly defeated, and he's crying out for help the whole time. And Opham is just sitting there on the steps right outside the door, gun in hand, crying. And it's just a terrible, frustrating moment. Like, you're right there. You've got a weapon in your hand, and just out of his weakness, doesn't identify with the strength that he has, doesn't use the weapon that he has. And when it's over, the German soldier comes out, and this is just such a pivotal point. He sees that he's sitting there, sees him sitting there crying, just looks at him and just walks away and joins the battle. And it's just so powerful because he didn't see him as a threat. I mean, you're bawling your face off. I just took out one of your soldiers, and you just let it happen. And that scene came to mind when I'm reading this. I'm like, oh my gosh! Like we cannot think that we're not in a battle. And if we feel like I'm not in one, then Satan doesn't see you as a threat. Satan wants to curse what God wants to bless. That's just the way it is, right? We've probably all said it at different times. Like, you know, if it's difficult and if it's confusing, if it's frustrating, if it's stressful, if it's a lot of work, then, you know, God's got to be in it. You know, if we're getting all this opposition, it's got to be God because, you know, Satan's trying to stop it, right? Satan's trying to destroy relationships. He's trying to destroy families. He's trying to create separation, you know, in our own homes. You know, and it's really obvious to see what he's trying to do, you know, even in our world today, right? You know, what's happening overseas. And so if you feel like you're not in battle, be very concerned about that, right? Lean into Christ, pick up your weapon, put on your armor, and join the fight. And so, like I usually do, I want to leave you guys with some challenges. Is that all right? If you want to take some notes, or I just want to encourage you guys to really make some decisions to focus on what can I do to start gaining some ground in the fight that I'm in. You all are thinking of it already. You know where your weak spot is. Does the enemy know? Is that where he's digging in? Is that where he's fighting? Is that where he's attacking you? So the first thing I'm going to encourage you to do is armor up. Right? Know where those weak spots are, because that's where he's going to attack. If you don't struggle with, you know, like alcohol, for example, he's not going to tempt you to go get a drink. It's just not, right? I mean, duh, it's just not going to work. And so he's going to, you know, he's going to fight where those weak spots are. So get into the Word of God, find those scriptures that help you remember. Like when I know I shared a long time ago, but, you know, when I was laid off of my job a couple years ago, it was a scary time. If you guys have gone through it, it can be a scary thing. And man, did I had several scriptures that I read through constantly, you know, of do not be afraid, right? You know, and the promises of the Word of God about how God will stand in the gap for me. And that helped a lot. I got to memorize them, and I'd say them all the time. You know, Satan would remind me of, you know, what if this and what if that? And I'd say, you know what? The Word of God says this. And it really helped in those day-to-day battles. So put on your armor, identify those weak spots, grab onto that Word of God, and be ready for that fight. You know, and number two is install your identity theft protection. You have it, it's been paid for, install it, right? Is your identity being attacked? Do you really feel like and know that if you've placed your hope and faith in Jesus Christ, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that the Spirit of the living God is actually living inside of you, right? Do you believe that? Do you know that you have an eternity in heaven awaiting for you? Do you know that you win? Do you know that Satan loses? Are you playing, are you fighting like you know that, right? So don't let Satan get you to forget who you are in Christ. And then number three, grab your weapon. Get into the Word of God. We have Bibles in the back we'd love to give you if you don't have one. I go digital. It's pretty easy. I have both. But, I mean, it's so crucial. And we're not going to stop saying it here at True North. You know, we need to be in the Word of God all the time. We really do. And I'd roll my eyes, you know, for so many years. Like, yeah, I know. And I would think of it as homework or, like, I don't have time, you know, but as I've grown up and matured, you know, I'm getting way, way better at that. And I can just tell you, the more that you abide in Christ, the more that you lean into him and learn about God's promises, his character, his, you know, his comfort, you know, his strength, my goodness, it helps so much when you're in battle, right? If you're fighting for no reason and you don't know what you're fighting for, there's an 80s song in there somewhere. What is it? Anyways, if you don't know what you're fighting for or who you're fighting for, obviously you're not going to see a victory, right? So grab your weapon every day, however you need to do it. Maybe it's small devotionals, you know, joining in the True North read through the Bible in 3 years, not one, 3 years. Join us in reading together. There's some great comments that all of us are putting in there and creating some great conversation about the Word of God, right? Find some themed studies. You know, the Bible app, if you don't use it, is really good for that. There's tons of resources. But you can search for whatever it is that you need to strengthen up on or whatever you're struggling with, and you'll find these great studies that are focused just on that to equip you with the Scripture, right? And again, think about how you're fighting. Again, Satan wants to help you to remember, like, only how tough things are and to question your identity in him and forget what he's done for you, but don't, right? Use the Word of God to fight your battles, because that's what Jesus did. That's all he did. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen? All right, let's pray.